Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Your Honor.
Hello, this is Susan Ray. You may remember me from such appearances as Bewildered Broadcaster in Dumpty Dum, or the voice of Disapproval in Street Crime UK. Today, I want to use my voice to tell you about 1001 Conversations, a new podcast about the stories we all share. First kiss, first day at school, where we were on 9/11. To record your story, your memories, to be included in a future show, go to speakpipe.com/1001conversations. You don't have to leave your name on the recording if you wish your blushes to be spared. The first topic is my first kiss. That's your first kiss, not my first kiss. So pucker up and go to speakpipe.com/1001conversations and tell us your story.
This programme is sponsored by listener Jean Rose, who very kindly donated to Dumpty Dum. We would also like to highlight the work of the Lymphoma Association, supporting people affected by lymphatic cancer. www.lymphomas.org.uk.
Hi guys, I'm in bed with a fever, so I'm probably a bit delirious, and that's probably why I'm going to sing Dumpty Dum. Dumpty 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 Dum, Dumpty Dumpty Dum, Dum, Dumpty 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 Dum. Dum-dee-diddle-dee-dum, dum-dee-diddle-dee-dum-dee-diddle-dee-dum-dee-diddle-dee-dum, dum-dee-dum-dee-dum-dee-diddle-dee-dum-dee-diddle-dee-dum. Love your show, guys. Keep up the good work. Your delirious friend, Mary. Bye.
Good. So you might just get cracking.
Okay.
All right. Right, bear with us. Let me just move that back a smidgen.
Have you listened this week?
I listen every week.
No, I mean a lot. Because last time you didn't listen a lot.
No, I listened to it twice last week.
Oh yeah, no, sorry. I mean, last week you listened a lot. Normally you don't listen that consistently, do you? So I just wondered what you thought.
No. I've listened episodically and I love me Ed. And I like that there was a little bit of, and Ed had some joy. I like the fact that Emma's now starting to come into her own and not just be horrible.
Yeah.
And I'm conflicted about the Grundys because I do like the comedy, but then I don't want them just to be the piss taken out of them.
Funny poor people. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always been on the fence with Grundy World of Christmas. I've always been.
But that's a very Archer sentence, isn't it? I've always been on the fence about the Grundy World of Christmas.
And I'm still on the fence. I've got splinters up my jacksie. And I don't like Adam that much anymore. When Adam, you know what, we should save this for actually when we're recording.
Yes.
Because
stop being interesting and talking to each other. Let's do that.
This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that is centred on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm Royfield Brown, who's 45 and single. So
does that mean you're small and black and round?
What?
In the middle. You're 45.
I tell you what, I wish I was a long playing 33. So come and get me middle-aged ladies while I'm still 45, because I'm not going to be 45 for too much longer. But with me, I have that bastion of Middle England and all it stands for,
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of a grundy world of Christmas is you. Now, before we start, we'd like to say a thank you to
A. Williams,
Sven de Berge,
Jean Rose,
Jane Fitzgerald, for all contributing by hitting our donate button on the Dumpty Dum website. With your contributions, we are part of the way to getting a new server upgrade.
Yay!
Yay, 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 yay! Today's rendition of Barrett Green was brought to you by delirious friend Mary. Lucy, can you remind our listeners how to win the accolade of Dumpty Dummer of the Week? Because you buggers, you're not sending any in.
Are they not?
Well, not really. Other than Paul Room, every week there's another remix coming from that guy. I feel sorry for that doctor's patients because he ain't doing any work. I feel sorry for his wife.
He's destroying the NHS. He's
His wife's neglected, his patients are neglected, but we're definitely not when it comes to ballroom. But anyway, we did have delirious friend Mary this week, but we need you folks. So Lucy's going to tell you how you can win the accolade. Go on, tell him, Luce.
No, Lucy's actually playing for time because I've lost the bit that gives me the number on. And I know I say it every bloody week, but I've got to stop swearing, haven't I? Because people said I said a rude word last week.
Did you see the picture of that cat and its face?
I did, yes. It was Vegan Neil's cat, wasn't it? Looked astonished. I was mortified.
Exactly.
God, I've upset a cat. If you are excited about Christmas in Ambridge, share the love with us by ringing in on 0203 031 3105. To give us a plot prediction, a secret artist crush, or to leave us a Dumpty Dum. You can also leave us a message via Speakpipe on the site. Thanks to lovely Harriet from Shambridge, who we are seeing tonight, are we not, for your birthday shenanigans. And to Derek for the loan of the back bedroom. He's in a temper this morning because he's been trying to put the decorations up by himself. Nathan Booth was supposed to be helping and he hasn't turned up. So Derek managed to do the fairy lights on his own, but he gave up waiting for Nathan and he popped the tree up himself.
Oh, sorry. sorry.
That went well then.
I was distracted by a textual message that came through my mobile phone apparatus.
See, it's ruining modern life.
It really is. It really is. But that was probably very funny, Lucy, so well done.
Dylan Moran calls them little black boxes of misery, mobile phones, and he won't have one. Neither will Paul Merton.
Really?
Mm. They said, if you want to call me, I have a revolutionary new phone that plugs into my house. Ring me on that.
On that Luddite theme, calls this week come from Cosmo, who's worried about who's paying for the potatoes. Yokel Bear, sounding a little bit better this week. Who thinks the pudding has been over-egged? Dusty Substances. Can I just say, I'm in love with Dusty Substances.
Right, isn't she?
She's definitely one of my girls. Love you, Dusty. Who's unsettled and uplifted. Paul Room, who's excited about our mugs. And Andrea Melling, who is barking. But first, before all that, let's see what fun can be poked at Borsetshire business this week with Lucy V. Freeman and her musings on Ambridge.
It's beginning to look a lot like nonsense. Christmas is coming. The supermarkets in Felpersham are putting out the suntan cream and the hot cross buns. I'm wrapping this weekend, said Linda, or MC Lethal Bizzle Indie Bottom, which is apparently known on Saturday nights. The annual turning on of the lights on the village green took place, but Charlie and Adam's whatever it is seems to have fused, as Adam warned Charlie that he'd never get his sticky fingers on his birthright. Daymart Capital sponsored the turning on of the lights and paid for the thermal underwear the brass band. Emma, inspired by Ed punching Otto the bull in the face, has persuaded A, cheery Will, to let number one the green to her and Ed at a reduced rent, and B, Ed to marry her, which will make her Emma Grundy Grundy. Both brothers said, you're a clever woman, Emma.
But sure, wouldn't always... it make it Emma Horobin Carter Grundy Grundy?
Yes, yes. Susan will be beside herself. She'll be quadruple barreled. Lovely. Both brothers said, you're a clever woman, Emma, but then you always were. But compared to the Grundy boys, the psychic turkey looks like Professor Brian Cox. Alice, the adenoidal wedding planning astrophysicist, has now...
He lives just round the corner from Michelle's house.
Does he?
Yeah.
I love him.
We saw him come out of his gaff and go into some big car with his missus and get zoomed off. He lives in Clapham Old Town. Lovely house. It's probably like about 19th century. It's not proper Victorian. It's a little bit earlier than that. Kind of Regency, slightly later than Regency. Lovely bit of Clapham. It's Clapham Old Town. It's got a lovely little house. And she was beside herself with excitement.
Who was?
Michelle.
Was she? Yes, yeah. I know. He does. Yes, he's a big. Lots of the Radio 4 ladies are very, very keen on him. Yes.
And I had no idea that he was. Things can only get better. Keyboard player.
Yeah. You have no idea who anybody is, though, apart from Soup. Unless they wear a cape, you are completely lost.
No, a cape, or they did something of historical importance back in the day.
Yes. Yeah,
then I've no idea who they are.
Because you told me that David Schwimmer was trying to get in touch with us, and it was David Schneider. And I was thinking, why would Ross from Friends?
What's Friends?
Don't know who he is. I'll never know, you said. Right, shall I carry on?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. Alice, the adenoidal wedding planning astrophysicist, has now added theatrical director to her CV, which by now must be about 32 pages long.
Assistant director,
yes.
Linda Alice was very clear.
Alice is like a toddler strolling round the village saying, "What are you doing? I will help, whether people want her to or not." Adenoids has recruited Douglas Harrington from Flops into Blythe Spirit. Most of the cast of Blythe Spirit so far seems to consist of a gramophone and a sofa, which is going to make it a much more lively production than normal. The Archer children, overcome with sentimentality and family feeling, have pulled their money out of what is now always referred to as the family farm faster than Brian pulling out of Siobhan Hathaway once he realised she wasn't on the pill. It is finally sinking in the truth that people would rather have some money now than shares in a farm bloody miles away that's quite likely to go bankrupt. Everybody was looking a bit shifty in front of everyone else until Shula said snottily, "Who made me the conscience of the family?" Speaking as the conscience of the family and making everyone hate or even more. Linda and Jenny Darling saddled up their high horses about the Archers selling up. Jenny Darling in particular has nothing to get snarky about, as Home Farm has introduced various schemes and wheezes that have had the entire village up in arms before now, so hush up, I say. However, in her defence, she did say she was inflamed. Caniston, Jenny Darling, it's brilliant. Anyway, Brian has resigned as a result from the BL board. Damn it, Marjorie! So the whole Brookfield Justin Elliott crisis will bring the Aldridge family together in the way that normally only the discovery of another of Brian's love children does. They're all marching around talking about the sanctity of the countryside while ignoring the fact they wanted to build a whacking great poo factory in the village. The doctors are disappointed with Tony. Poor Tony. No one's ever pleased with him, and he never gets an A+ from anyone. He's holding his own now and turning a corner. Poor chap. He's turned so many corners now, he must be feeling like he's on the magic roundabout. Krusty texted to say she was thinking about everyone at Bridge Farm. Thinking ha 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 ha, probably. New Tom has had a word with horrible old Rob, who has introduced Simmentals into the herd without asking anybody. New Tom said, "I want my dad to come back to a herd he will recognise." Ha! He won't recognise anyone else in the village, so how's he going to recognise the cattle? You could swap half the herd for terrapins and no one had batted eyelid. Tony had a rather embarrassing chat with his mother, who said, "You could not have been a better son to me, and the only way I could have shown that more was by not cutting you out of my will and being unremittingly critical and unpleasant for the last few years." "Can he hear me, Tom?" Peggy asked her brand new grandson. "Oh yes, he can hear us, Gran," said new Tom. "He's not in a coma. No, he's just bored to tears." And as if Tony covered in more tubes than Helen was when she conceived Henry wasn't bad enough, "Kate's coming back! What could be better?" She has decided to give Roy and Haley the benefit of her experience on self-control and good marital behaviour, so that'll be something we can all get behind, right behind, and then give her a good kick up the arse. The end.
I don't like Kate at all.
Either do I, neither do I.
Oh, God, what a loathsome Aldridge she is.
So, yeah, I know, that's not exactly a small field, is it? A loathsome Aldridge. That's why Connie was so brilliant, wasn't he, at the at the awards.
Yes.
Let me think about, let me talk about things about Kate that are good. And then he just had that look on his face.
And he sighed. But no, so that's it, we're done. So you didn't really go into too much detail about... Oh, Grindelwald the Christmas was Sunday's episode, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, crumbs, that's the reason why you didn't mention it. Well done, Lucy. All right.
It's not an accident, this. she says, very, very clear that it is entirely accidental.
Lucy.
Yes.
Do you think that was any good this week?
What? And the Archers?
Yeah.
I quite like... Mm. There's something I'm quite enjoying about the dawning realisation...
The theme tune. No. Really enjoying the theme tune.
There's something about the dawning realisation for David and Ruth that it almost feels like this... Right then, we'll go. Mm. This kind of slightly petulant gesture, and they're now thinking, oh shit, we are going. And everybody going, well, we're not coming with you, you know, you're on your own, mush. You know, if you want to go and do this crackers thing, off you pop. And they're all pulling their money out, and they're now on their own.
And they're not the blue-eyed couple of the village. Everybody was like, wait a minute, but it's 7.5 big ones, isn't it?
It is.
You know.
Do you know what else struck me? And you'll go, because you don't like me doing my psychology bit. Can I do my psychology bit?
Yeah, of course you can.
Ruth is an only child. And I think there is a big issue there. I think she's come from... Because coming from being an only child to moving miles across the country to a place you don't know, and suddenly sort of finding yourself marrying into not only a huge family, but the entire village, pretty much. Mm. This is... almost feels like a bit of an attempt for her to get David back to herself, so that she's not second fiddle. Because she's always been not an archer. She's married in, and now this is almost like, right, now it's my, you know, you're my wife now, Dave. You're, you know, she's.
Who are you? You're channeling your inner Kenton then, Dave.
No, it's from League of Gentlemen. Character who goes, you're not my wife. You're my wife now, Dave. So there's kind of an element of that I'm feeling anyway. I don't know whether that's being over analytical.
You being over analytical.
Because if David's saying, oh, they don't seem very, oh, they're all pulling their money out. And she's going, well, that's good, isn't it? That's good. And she's the one that's always talking about the new start. This is a new start for all of us, new start. But he doesn't want a new start. He was quite happy with where he was.
Well, I'll tell you what.
What?
I could have a new start and have 7.5
buildings.
You know, you can get me to do just about anything with that amount of money. My principles fly right out the window.
Yeah, you can get me to do pretty much anything for a pack of frazzles, though. That doesn't...
Shut up.
Not really much of a benchmark.
Two packs of frazzles. I haven't seen a pack of frazzles in a long time. Listen, I'll vote UKIP for three packs of frazzles. I'll stand for UKIP. Mom and Dad, leave the country. Bloody immigrants. On that profound note, we should hit those phone lines.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. Cosmo here again. Still a retired accountant, but in future I would prefer to be known as a person having holidays. I'm having a lot of them soon. Last week, you seemed to think that I was joking over Rob, but this week I'm wondering if the man is all that he seems to be. It does not seem unreasonable to feed a few moolies some old tatties. After all, Jazza probably lives on nothing else. It does bother me that he ordered some cows of a new foreign breed when he had no means to pay for them, because I assume that checks can only be signed by Tony or Pat, and possibly Helen. So I am starting to wonder if Rob is maybe not as reliable as I have previously believed. I am worried he's also falling down on the job of looking after Helen, because he's not making sure she eats properly, and she does seem to be missing the odd meal, and we all know where that's going. She will be very slim. Turning to Brookfield, is anyone really surprised that the Archer family members want that money? They would have taken it even if the offer had been 5 million. Indeed, I reckon it's about the only certainty in the entire process. Lizzie has a loan to pay off, as she mentioned this week. Shula has Alistair's loan sharks to pay off, and Kenton has always been good at spending money he does not have. On more serious subjects, do either of you remember the story a couple of years ago when, after a lot of agonising, Nick agreed that she would have a baby with Will, and there were scenes of them chasing each other in the woods at night? Well, if so, then did she keep on taking the pill? Or is Will working permanent nights? And if things aren't going according to plan, why haven't they consulted a doctor? Both have had children before, after all. And then new Emma was sweet-talking Will into a bargain deal for number one, the Green. Do we really think that at some point that will lead up to another bust-up between the brothers? Near the end, I hear that Kate is appearing at Christmas. How is she going to manage this? Or will it be a new Kate? Old Kate, I understand, is busy having, or not, a baby in Enders, and she's hardly going to get time off to revisit Ambridge. I wonder who new Kate would sound like. Will she and new Phoebe even recognise each other? Posh happening this coming week is a visit to Bournemouth and a Madness concert. I will, however, be in London in the latter part of January at some point, as I shall be seeing Debbie Aldridge singing in the West End. Be along next week. Bye for now.
Cosmo! Worried about pinning all his hopes on Rob. Well, yes, Cosmo, I think you probably should. And no, Rob is not a counter-signatory on the checks for the potatoes. Cosmo, you have to stop this now. It's going too far. You need to get another job, I think, because you can't be trying to work out, you know, the vagaries of Ambridge finances are as difficult to comprehend as the geography of it. And the fact that nobody ever rings anybody, everyone goes around to see everybody, which is just not like real life. So don't stop worrying about who's paying for what.
But
and also, Nick, also he said, what happened to Will and Nick romping in the woods? And where's the baby? The baby's Poppy. She's had it.
Yes.
Oh, keep up.
Yeah, I did think, am I going mad here? Have they not had the baby when he said that?
Yeah, no, I'll tell you what, I am going seriously mad, but I'll tell you about that later, because that's really, really peculiar. And new Kate and new Phoebe might not recognise each other. I don't think it's new Kate, though, is it? We can't have new Kate too. If we have new Kate too, I think I'm giving up.
Well, it has to be new Kate, because, as he said, normal Kate is on EastEnders. But anyway, moving swiftly on from that. So he said, how the hell could he have ordered the feed or the cows, whatever, without signing anything? Now,
but you just, if you've got a standing order, you just order it. Oh, but he wouldn't have, because it's a new supplier.
Oh, it was a new supplier.
Yeah, that's what all the fuss was, because Tom was going, well, I don't know who this is.
Ah, because I was going to say, they've probably heard about Tony's accident and he can just get on the blower and say, oh yeah, da-da-da, we just need to order this, but it's a new supplier.
Yeah.
Oh, he's right.
He emailed us as well, not content with worrying about it on SpeakPipe, he's now worrying about it on the email, and he says, yes, he is a retired accountant. He said, as the siblings, as in the Archer siblings, want cash out, there will now be a CGT liability at 28% of the money not reinvested into the new farm. So they have significant shares. We don't know the share split. You still with me? But it will be in the documents of the company's house for Ambridge Farmers Limited, if you want to have a look. And Kenton had his money for Archer's Antiquities, not the wine bar. So he may have a smaller share. Mm. He says, I could go on for ages. But as it is not going to happen, I won't. Quite right, Cosmo. This feels like a massive, this still feels like a massive waste of energy spending. Where it's like when you have an interview for a new job and you don't get it, and you've mentally got your desk, bought your new wardrobe for it, and, you know, thought about what you're going to do and everything, and then you don't get the job. And then you think, bloody hell, when do I get that week of worry back?
You know, just as a pure and utter aside.
Yes.
How many job interviews actually have you gone to in your life? Approximately.
Bloody hell.
Or more to the point, how many jobs have you got from getting from having a job interview?
Do I have to answer this? Because okay. I've never been for an interview that I haven't got the job. Yes, I have, once.
Once?
Once.
Me too.
Twice.
I've only had one job interview in 20... How many years have I been in the labour market? 25 years?
About three. Sorry.
Shut up.
But no, I never get jobs from job interviews. I never get jobs, but I never get jobs from job interviews anyway.
I just do nothing but... But they're not jobs, they're chats.
Mm.
Yes, so-and-so said that you're all right, come in and have a chat.
Yeah. But anyway, there was a point I was going to make then. It's gone clean out of my head. Cosmo. Oh, yeah, that's it. Cosmo.
Mm.
Big ups to Cosmo. Props to Cosmo. He's the only person who actually listened to what I said last week and actually started off by saying exactly what his employment status.
No, someone else did too.
Oh.
But they didn't leave a message. They just emailed us to tell us what they did.
Yes, and there was somebody on the Twitters that also said something.
Why did you want to know about job interviews?
No, forget job interviews
for
now.
Sorry. No, but what
Can somebody tell me where I'm going wrong and why I never get jobs? There you go.
Oh, okay.
Do we have any recruitment consultants that listen to this show? Or do we have anybody that does anything vaguely where they have to put any message on the interwebs that needs me to come along and help them? And that would be great. However, that's not really the forum for me soliciting for work. However, it just fell out of my mouth. Next caller.
It just fell out of my mouth.
It's Christmas. I need some work. Because Dumpty Dum don't pay.
I'm just wondering what the hell is going on in your studio. It just fell out of my mouth.
Hello, you two. It's Yokelbear here. I just wanted to talk about two things today. First of all, new Tom. I like him. I really do. I was apprehensive. I knew it was going to be a new actor and everything like that. But he's come back assertive. It seems as though he really has found himself in Canada. I think it's, you know, the old sulky Tom seems to be gone, and I'm liking the new Tom. His him squaring up to Rob was just a joy to listen to. One of the best things that script writers have done in a long while. Really, really enjoyed that. But talking of kind of script writers and the way things are going, that's the second thing I really want to talk about. I've been having a think about all the changes. Now, I think a lot of the plot lines are now silly. Brookfield Farm sale, dragging out the Charlie and Adam tension for months. It's just, I don't like some of these stories. But I think there's a middle ground to be had. And what I mean by that is I think The Archers does have to change. It's the 21st century. It can't be stuck back in the 1950s and 60s. It's not a historical drama. It's meant to be a modern drama that keeps up with the times. So I think things do need to change. But I think the pudding has been over-egged. I think it's changed too much and it needs to kind of notch it back a bit. But I think there's a solution, but it's probably a rubbish one, but I'll tell you anyway. They should resurrect Ambridge Extra and put the racy plot lines on Ambridge Extra. So you could do the kind of real kind of exciting, you know, oh my God, somebody's been gored by a bull, that kind of thing, and do them separate from the main Archers, which could essentially be brought up to date, but in a more gentle, leisurely way, and keeping its essential character. So yes, that's kind of what I've been thinking. I think that's it. I think that's all the thoughts in my head at the moment. So, on the Archers, that is. So, yes. Okay then. Bye.
Yokelbear, new Tom. He likes him. Well, he's fine. I mean, he's certainly put Rob in his place, thank God. But he sounds exactly like Charlie Barber's spreadsheet. They've even got the same intonation. They do a funny S. They've got a hissy S. And, They both do funny pauses in exactly the same places. They sound, their intonations are exactly the same. It's really strange and disconcerting because it puts me off what he's saying. I can't believe in him because I'm just thinking, goodness, you sound like Charlie Barber's spreadsheet. You know, if you meet him in the ball, will you say to him, blimey, you sound like me? Because it's just really odd. And yes, I know. I appreciate Yokelbear that we cannot be stuck in the 1950s. Yes, I know. And I know things need to change, but resurrecting Ambridge Extra is not the way forward. No, 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 no.
I don't know about that. I think there is mileage in exploring the characters away from Ambridge, which is the whole point of Ambridge Extra. You know, take
the racy storylines and the storylines of the Russian mafia, put that completely to one side. There is definitely enough stuff for us to go through as listeners that could be put on another show without completely destroying the continuity of the favourite docudrama that we all love.
But that's what's happened before. When they did it before, that's what happened. It was like I always say, it was like listening to an argument through a wall and you could only hear half of it. And you don't know, you didn't know really what was going on. So when you're listening back again to the Archers, they'd say, oh, well, of course, when I had my chat with so-and-so last week, and you'd think, what chat? What was that?
But I hear you, but the way that they dealt with Matt and Lillian in Russia didn't have any ramification on the main storyline. Matt and Lillian had gone, and then
it did, because Lillian came back and said, oh, Matt's not with me, and none of us knew why. And then there was all this funny
that's
stuff
the wrong way around, because Matt went and then Lillian went over there. They came back together eventually.
Oh, okay.
But I think it can be done. And I think that towards the end of the run of Ambridge Exeter, they had it just about right. You know, when Kenton and Jolene went off to New Zealand, it didn't knacker up the main storyline in the Archers. But I appreciate that you are resistant to change and it's all a bit newfangled for you. And instinctively, you're against it. And because it had a different theme tune.
Yes. You know, that's probably completely right.
Exactly. It's a little bit too jaunty, this theme tune. I don't like it.
Isn't you? I hate it.
And Yokel Bear didn't tell us what he did, so black mark for Yokel Bear.
Yokel Bear didn't tell us what? Oh, no, he didn't, did he?
No.
Oh, dear.
Though I know something, I kind of know what he does. It's something to do with employment and unions, and he's a tub-thumping, dyed-in-the-wool...
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Rabid 70s socialist or something for another.
What, as a job?
Yeah. Oh, no. Because I think that's what he says on Twitter. But right. I'm exaggerating somewhat. Red Yokel Bear. Who's next?
Dusty Substances.
Oh, I love this woman.
Hello, it's Dusty Substances here, the wrong sort of listener. I just wanted to say it's been both an unsettling but uplifting week in Ambridge this last few days. You know things are badly wrong when you hear yourself cheering on fake Tom. Not a fan of Tom, really. But I loved hearing him put Tichinob in his place. I mean, but how totally weird is that to be enjoying fake Tom? I suppose I really just hate Tichinob totally. I'm a little bit concerned that he will now take out his feelings about this on Helen. Not that I'm very fond of her either, but it's all a bit unsettling, that, really. On the other hand, go Lindy Botts, sniff and all. She is going to be utterly magnificent now that she knows that the Dopesters plan to sell Brookfield to Justin Thing. Well, except that they aren't, but it's going to be such fun hearing Linda and probably Jemus sorting all this out. It's absolutely what I want to hear on The Archers. And if it makes trouble for Ruth and David, well, what's not to like about that? Absolutely wonderful. And Blythe Spirit is going to be epic. I really am so excited. I don't know what to say, really, except that... I mean, I want to hear it now, really. Anyway, that's it for this week. Bye for now. Bye.
It's a real shame she's married, you know.
I know.
Because she doesn't even live that far from me in West London. I could nip down there and just snuggle up to her. She's great. She is. She's just...
You need help.
No, I don't. I just need a bit of dusty substances in my life. This woman is proper funny.
She is.
She knows a little bit too much about skunk, though. a woman of her social standing should not be down with
it's a bit of a disconnect there. When she was talking about skunking people up, I looked at her Twitter photo and I was thinking,
exactly,
skunking people up. Okay. I do like Jimus, though. Can we adopt that as the new name for Jim?
Absolutely. Yes.
And Paul Room had a new name for somebody as well, and I've forgotten what that was. It will come back to me. She's cheering on you, Tom, when you stood up to Rob, too, like Yoko Bear, and me. Hoorah! It's quite good because you've got two kind of controlling men now battling over the same farm. But Helen has stopped eating. Can we all notice that? She just keeps turning up to places at lunchtime and telling people that she's eaten at the place she was before. Yeah. And it's so worrying. Helen is just horrible. I just want to canter in and pick her up and take her away and look after her. It's just awful.
Well, at least she's reverting back to character type. But this new Tom, you know, Tom's whole raison d'etre has been to change the farm, hasn't it? But now he wants it to stay exactly the same, and, you know, and
because he's been away.
His father, baby.
Yeah.
But also he's realised, you know, I am my father's son, and what my father has done, has built up over the years, has been significant and important, and it now cannot change, you know. But, you know, if I saw me old pops, you know, lying in a bed cut open and wires and tubes all over the place, you know, I might have a personality transplant too.
Yeah.
But hey.
She says Blythe Spirit is going to be epic. Do you know about the Blythe Spirit thing?
Yeah, yeah.
That they're playing it on Boxing Day for real and that. Mm-hmm. And apparently Julian Rhind Tutt is going to play Douglas Harrington.
Okay. For those of us not steeped in kind of British acting lore, who the hell is this gentleman?
Did you watch Green Wing?
Oh, kind of, sort of.
The tall, gorgeously, fantastically sexy, delightful one with red hair.
How could you tell he was tall and gorgeously handsome if it was on the radio?
It wasn't, that's why I said watch.
But you said you never watched TV, remember, Lucy? Do you remember, you know, you always say, I never watch TV, I just listen to Radio 4. I listen to the Home Service and nothing else.
Yeah, is that like you saying, I am never miserable?
Shut up.
Look, if... Every time you say anything cutting to me, you're usually right. And every time I say anything cutting to you, you go, shut up, like Tracy Beaker. And that's the end of it. Shut up.
When was I ever miserable?
You're 45, man. Shut up. When was I ever miserable? Anyway, Julian Rhind Tutt, hurrah. He's brilliant and he's got the most amazing voice, so he's going to be fantastic. And I saw him outside Café Rouge on... Where was I? Somewhere near New Broadwick Street, and I tripped over a paving stone. I was so busy looking at him, thinking, I love you. That was quite embarrassing. It's a good job he doesn't know who I am.
Well, probably recognises you from the radio.
Yeah, I have a very good face for radio, so I have no doubt. Yes.
Hi, this is Andrea Melling from Missouri City, Texas, and I'm ringing to say something I never thought I would say. I can forgive Tom. I can forgive Tom everything. I can wish him to be the master of Ridge Farm, reunite with the lovely Kirsty, and live happily ever after. And all he has to do to earn my favour and eternal gratitude is send Rob packing, preferably with a punch on the nose or a kick up the ass. Sorry, went a bit Texas on your ass. Kick up the arse. The new voice helps me forget all those years of bile. I find myself willing to forgive him. Who knew? It's because I hate Rob that much. Even more than dog murderer Dumbo Ed, or selfish bints Lizzie and Kate, who I also despise. What a great character Rob is, to trump years of enmity in such a short time. The snake. And apologies to boa constrictors everywhere, but that's how I see him. Coiled around Helen, squeezing tighter and tighter. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Love to hate Rob. What a great character. Enjoying the show. Sorry to miss out on the awards. Would love to try and come next year if you give more notice of what the date is, because I normally come to England around that time. And keep up all the good work. Bye.
On that note, Royfield, I think now might be a good time to pop in our message to remind people about the great cause that Dumpty Dum is supporting.
This Christmas, buy a refuge parcel and support women and children escaping domestic violence. Refuge parcels provide essential support for women and children who have experienced domestic violence. There are four parcels you can choose from: emergency parcel, children's parcel, safety and independence parcel, and law parcel, ranging from £10 to £100. The value of each parcel that you buy will be used to offer support and places of safety to the 3,000 women and children Refuge supports every day. Go to refuge.org.uk/get-involved for more information.
Andrea Melling, who's got dogs, dogs are barking in the background. She wants to send Rob packing with a punch on the nose. I think we all do now. But I don't know, I kind of... He deflated surprisingly quickly, didn't he? When what? Tom said, no, not going to happen, he sort of went, okay, well, it's your farm, in his kind of subdued, creepy voice. But I just worry he's now going to take it out on Helen.
Well, this is it, because it has been established way back when that he's actually a coward if another man confronts him. Mm-hmm. There was the whole thing with Charlie, wasn't there, when he was reported directly to Charlie, and Charlie was saying, well, work through your dinner and why have you got... work through your lunch hour, sorry, and why have you got to go and pick up Henry and all this kind of stuff. And he couldn't confront Charlie, could he? You know, he'd kind of bitch behind his back. You know, but hey, hum, he's a rat bag and he's actually a coward and he's a bully and I don't like him. However, it's consummately played and yes. And I think he's got a rather nice voice.
Rob.
Mm.
Yeah, lovely. Mm. Yeah.
You know, there's just about enough sinister undertones without it being sinister.
Yeah.
You know, when he says stuff. You know, yeah. It's very, very kind of...
It's just incredibly controlled and incredibly well modulated.
Exactly, and, yeah, exactly.
Which makes you think everything he says has been incredibly well thought out, which it has, because it's all designed to get...
Well, of course it's been well thought out. Right. There's been a whole load of script writers writing. You didn't just think of it on the spot. The actor's not riffing, is he?
You know what I mean, you fool.
The Archers turned all lovely and Christmassy this week. Friday's episode had the village lights being switched on and the Damara Capital financed brass band, whose fee was slightly over the odds, I thought, at $7.5 million, playing carols in the background. It couldn't have been more seasonal if it came with a free mince pie and glass of mulled wine. Hearing Alice engage the services of Douglas Harrington as Charles Condiment in Blythe Spirit to be broadcast on Radio 4 on Boxing Day, it did get me wondering whether we'll be listening to Archer's actors playing Archer's characters hamming it up as Blythe Spirit characters, or will we hear Archer's actors being proper actors, seriously playing Blythe Spirit characters in the play? Another exciting announcement this week was the Dumpty Dum shop sourcing Right You Are logo mugs. I shall wake up especially early on Christmas morning to check my stocking is bulging with one of these. I've been keeping count over the last few weeks and have a Right You Are score of Archers 3, Real Life 0. These have been slipped in various scenes. We had Eddie and Jim discussing mystical turkeys. I must admit that the turkey episodes are getting right on my nerves. Anyway, one of the turkeys was noticed by Jim to be listening attentively to their conversation, to which Eddie replied, "Right you are." Rather egotistically, I took this to mean that I am that big-eared listening turkey, and the script was written specifically to wind me up. The next rendition was beautiful, with Bert unveiling a new poetical variation. Agreeing with Carol when she pondered that life must go on, even though Tony is so unwell, Bert replied with a Yoda-like, "Quite right you are." Then we had another given by Joe during the bizarre turkey fortune reading scene. Keep it up, scriptwriters, as I will enjoy Right You Are spotting whilst drinking tea from my appropriately themed mug.
Paul Room, you know Paul Room's call? He talked about the psychic turkey looking attentive, and I am now that big-eared turkey. Do you want to know something really weird? And I'm actually probably think you should chop this out, because I think otherwise people are going to come and take me away. I dreamt that whole call.
What are you talking about?
I had written the notes for his call without hearing the call. Then I didn't realise I hadn't heard the call. Then I played the call, and it said exactly what I knew it was going to say.
So you're a psychic podcaster.
I'm a psychic podcaster
talking
about
psychic
turkey. Serious, I couldn't believe it when
and
he
me
said,
either me either Lucy,
I am that big-eared turkey, and I'm now thinking that they're writing it for me. They're writing the script for me. I've got that all in my head. Honestly, this job, it's sending me round the twist, Royce.
Me too, working with you.
I know, well, I'm sorry. I think it is probably contagious. It's like, that's why we do it over Skype, so I can't get near enough to you to extend the mania. Weird though, isn't it?
But can we just say that Paul Room and your, you know, picking up the whole kind of Right You Are malarkey,
yes,
that people are so just right behind Right You Are that we get, there's messages on Twitter whenever, well, I say whenever, whenever somebody mentions Right You Are actually on The Archers. But then also it has, if you heard, it's leaked over onto Corrie.
Yes.
And it's also now leaked over to the Dumpty Dum store. So if you want to get yourself some Right You Are merchandise, maybe on a mug or a hip flask or on a baby grow or whatever, you can do that at dumptydum.com.
Someone suggested that on the baby bib, when the babies are being breastfed, which is Nigel Farage's favourite topic at the moment, then we ought to have Right You Are and Left You Are.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that too.
Going well, isn't it, the shop?
Listen, well, there's more talk about the shop.
Oh, sorry.
Later.
I'm just quite excited. I've never had a shop. Well, not since I was six and I used to charge my sister to eat her own biscuits, but yes.
I've had two shops.
Have you? Oh, yeah, you had clothes shops, didn't you?
Yeah. I had two clothes shops, one in Birmingham, one in Manchester, and I could riff on about owning a shop and female customers. So we did female and male apparel, and it was a very joyous time in my life. And
famous, why can you only riff on female customers?
Because women are very different when it comes to shopping, and can very much take you into their confidence in a way that male customers don't. It's still very much a transaction. With female shoppers, it's an experience.
Yes.
Completely and utterly different. Famous shoppers I had in my shop were Ryan Giggs, Paul Scholes, and the two Gallagher brothers, off the top of my head.
Really?
Yeah. The shop in Manchester, and I remember when these guys bowled out of this Beamer and they all just looked like kids, and I'm like, what, you cannot afford anything in here. But they had come out of a Beamer and they just bought the shop up. And he's like, when the guy come to pay and his check was like, oh, Giggs, I went, oh, okay. And then I realised that was Paul Scholes and whatever with them. But yes, happy times in the early to mid 90s in Birmingham and Manchester. And it's if we do a Dumpty Dum late night extra, then I can tell you about female customers in clothes shops.
Is it like Warren Beatty in shampoo?
Suffice to say, right,
I don't even know if it's called shampoo. Is it called shampoo?
I think it is.
He's a hairdresser.
So I bought a lot of off the peg new designer stuff, and designers that had just left university and stuff, they were just starting out their careers. And if I bought And then I'd buy a maximum of three in any size, and it had to be exclusive to Birmingham or to Manchester. So what we ended up doing was doing a lot of clothes which you could have altered at the tailor's just around the corner, because we didn't have, you know, that much of any one product. Anyway, the amount of women who were in changing rooms and would say, oh, can you just pop in and tell me what this looks like? And you'd walk into the changing rooms and they'd be topless. Beggar belief. And there was a period when I was working in the shop just by myself. didn't have a female assistant. And somebody say, oh, can you just come in and just tell me what you think this looks like? And I say, okay. And I'd walk in and they'd be like, topless, and they'd be looking, it'd be a pair of trousers, and they'd say, oh, I'm sorry. And they'd say, oh, it doesn't matter, or whatever. And there is, and it was a real eye-opener, as I said, for a woman. They'd walked into this place, they were going to have this transaction take place, but it was an experience, and you were helping them through this experience. And there was so much implied trust that all of a sudden, I was gender neutral.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't matter. I was just the expert.
So all those films, late night on Channel 5, are all absolutely, they're quite accurate then, about, sorry, my top's fallen off sort of thing in the changing room.
Listen, I saw so many breasts. I saw down below. It's just ridiculous. And, you know, I was, after the first, like, month or so, then...
You became immune to boobs.
I wouldn't quite go that far, but I was immune to the fact that somebody would, that a woman who I didn't know would let me see her naked, because as far as she was concerned, we were in an area where she felt safe.
Wow.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely an eye opener in more ways than one.
Gosh.
Yeah. I enjoyed my time owning shops. Lucy.
Yes.
Should we have a commercial break?
Yes, why not?
Fancy getting your mouth round something warm? Something comforting you can really get a firm grip on? Why not buy a Dumpty Dum mug from the shop at dumptydum.com? Goes down lovely.
Right then. So why don't you take us through your hashtag The Archer's Tweet of the Week?
Okay, Willem Harvey says, switching on of the lights. Charlie only turned up because he'd heard there was some action going on in some local cottages. It's naughty, Willem. Ackley Lewis said, I put that bull in the yard with him, says Peggy, bragging about her impressive upper body strength. Emily Thomas said, new Tom can only be ingratiated into the Archer's Twitter feed's heart by punching Rob repeatedly and then slapping him with a tuna.
A tuna?
He's allergic to tuna, isn't he? He said he made Helen recook his dinner because he didn't. Hinge Zandel said, news this week, shock as it turns out, Heather is perfectly healthy and Ruth has Munchausen's by proxy. But tweet of the week, and we have to stop this. Dumpty Dummers, and Royfield and me, we have to stop finding it funny that Tony is in a hospital on a life support machine. It is not funny, and yet it is. Tweet of the week was from Paul Salotti, nurse. I'm sorry, Mrs. Archer, but throughout your speech to new Tony, you had your foot on his oxygen pump. Yes.
You done?
Yes.
All right, then I think we're almost over. Lucy, do you remember last week was Cyber What's It? And we said go to our site or go to Amazon to buy stuff.
Yes, I did. I did, I do.
Well, yes. Well, guess what?
What?
People did it in their droves.
Yay! Victoria Cole.
Miss D. Telford.
Mr. D.P. Green.
Shelley Albright.
Bridget Mary Peake.
Rupert Brunn.
Claire Schofield.
Julie Minns.
Kate Blackwood.
Claire Steep.
Sarah Hedges.
Mr. Lynn O'Malley. Oh,
no. Mr. Lee O'Mahony.
Oh, Mr. Lee.
O'Malley, sorry.
Yeah, even you couldn't say it. John Martin Pickering.
Paul Dishman.
Richard Fawcett.
Jean-Marc Letizier.
David Snowden.
Ballroom.
Clive Hayward,
Polly Ann Cummins,
Gary Vore,
Helen Palmer,
Sheridan Pratt,
and Claire Steep.
All bought stuff. And what's absolutely lovely, when you look at the kind of sales reports, it's just from like all over the world.
Yeah, really?
Like Isle of Wight even.
Wow. I thought we'd decided that it's the Isle of Man that doesn't exist, isn't it? Because the Isle of Man marketing man, I'm going to get into trouble again now, aren't I? The Isle of Man marketing man said that Ambridge was a ridiculous... Is Ambridge a ridiculous mythical country? So we said, no, is the Isle of Man. And now that'll make him cross. Sorry.
But we've had, as I said, across the water in the Isle of Wight, America, Ireland, there was some place somewhere else, and oh no, all 4 points of the globe, you know, people have been buying Dumpty Dum merch from. It's it's filled my heart with joy.
Excellent.
And it's helped ease our overdrafts just a little.
It's filled our overdraft with joy as well.
Absolutely. And we have a new range of clever pun related wares in our shop, don't we, Lucy?
We do.
So if you fancy a t-shirt that says, you know,
hello, what, you too.
Oh, you're so good. I didn't even put that in red and you just knew that little pause. Or a Baby Grove sporting the legend
Made in Ambridge.
Or a mug that says
splash of gin in there, darling.
Click on our shop on our website, folks, because remember, Christmas is a coming now. Hey, and I thought I was going to have to retire this section. Oh no, by Jimmy, no. News of reviews, news.
People will be so gutted if you retire this section.
It's my favourite section, I tell you.
There could be a riot of disappointment.
We have some reviews, folks.
Poodle in Penwith.
And good heavens, I don't know how you say this, but Veal at Stonecraft. And I'm sure it's supposed to be music, but they ran out of characters. So it's Stonecraft Musi, who decided to send me a little birthday present. And I can say this on the last day that I'm going to be 45 forever. So thank you for sending in us some reviews. Now, remember, there are various ways in which you can support this podcast. Hard cash, if you want to hit that donate button on our website, or you can purchase something from the shop, or for the tightwads amongst you, you can always do an iTunes review if your wallet or purse refuses to leave your pocket. Now, on the Facebook, here is Millie Bell with other Archers-related Facebook goings-on.
Hello everyone, it's Millie Bell here. Don't worry if you hear any odd bangs, we're gearing up for a summer storm here and the local orchardists all have their hell guns going and I haven't been able to find a quiet time, so this is it. We've had a really busy week on the Dumpty Dum Facebook page, so I haven't really had to spend much time on the other pages this week. We've now got 561 likes and you're a pretty active lot. And this week we saw Alison propositioning Royfield publicly. We also asked the question, where will you be listening to the Archers over Christmas? Mike Blake and his dog will be listening together. Sarah Harding will listen whilst being mocked. Good luck with that, Sarah. Isabel Barrack and John Burns will both posted that they will have to hide away, which is a bit sad, but we do understand that it's a secret pleasure. We also have Cara Poirier listening from Australia, Andrea Melling in Texas, and Claire Steep in Canada. And just to bring us back to our roots, Rosie Cross will be listening from Prada. Now, my favourite post came from a post that we put up to say that we now have some Write to Our merchandise for sale. We've all been eagerly awaiting this. Polly Cayman, then posted that she placed an order for a hip flask and some jammers for when she takes Lucy and Royfield to bed with her on podcast night. I always wondered why I couldn't get hold of Royfield and Lucy on podcast night. And now we all know.
Now, remember, you can send us a voice message via the site. We can call 0203 031 3105 from a regular normal phone to leave us a message, because that's what we need on the show, messages from you. But remember, no one's getting on the bloody show unless you tell me what you do for a living. Right, I will blackball you from coming onto the show. Right? Okay, so you can ping us a regular text message if you like. You don't have to tell us what you do for a living if you're going to do that, but it's nice if you do. Or you can find us on the Twitters at DumDeeDum, or you can tweet me at Royfield.
Or me at Lucy V. Freeman.
So please, please, please keep those reviews coming, because you want to be top of the podcast charts before Susan orders a top hat and tails for Ed and Emma's big day. Toodaloo, everybody.
Bye!
Bye-bye.
How are Ed and Emma going to afford this wedding?
Well, it's going to be all upcycled and a bit kind of...
Oh, God, you're right.
Of course I'm right.
She's going to be dressed in, like, Peggy's throw-off with the Peggy's fag-stained or tea-stained lace tablecloth or something, isn't she?
And
they're going to be driven to the church in Bartleby. Oh, no, they can't do that. Not after... That's got bad associations, hasn't it?
What?
After Tom. After Krusty clopping through the village.
But it's going to be something like that, though, isn't it? They have to. It's all going to be because...
But now we're going to have 6 months of Fallon rubbing things down again.
That sounds quite appealing to me. Quite appealing. Be rubbing me up, not rubbing me down. I tell you, that's ideal for Ambridge Extra. You know, Ambridge Late Extra. Fallon rubbing things up.
Have you noticed the poets stopped sending us things?
Yes.
Why is that?
I don't know. And I'm a little bit sad about that.
Does he not love us anymore?
But people do go in and fits and starts, don't they?
Yeah.
Because Mid-Miss City's kind of trailed off and whatever. But, you know, and Dusty Sumpson has kind of come in and, you know, Cosmo's a stalwart. So, you know, it does go in fits and starts. But, yeah, out of all of our callers, I'm missing Maeve.
Yeah.
And I hope she'll be able to call us again soon.
Yes.
Who else are we missing?
Ms. Alliance, but she's always travelling, so she saves us up and listens to about 14 episodes of The Archers and us all in one go, and then gets very disorientated, I would imagine. Who else hasn't rung in for ages? I don't know.
I'm missing...
Mm-hmm.
Not contrary.
Yeah. I'm missing Exeter Dormouse.
Yeah, God.
I think I came up too strong with Exeter Dormouse, didn't I?
Didn't you just?
I think I'm right.
You don't have my subtlety when trying to woo the opposite sex.
I want to go around Dusty Substance's house and cuddle her. Yes, she'd never have known. She'd never have picked that up, Ralph. You like her.
Yeah. So, not contrary. Are you scared away Exeter Dormouse? Which other male listeners have you scared away?
Well, nowhere near the amount of female listeners.
Oh, shut up. I'm the only reason why they tune in. I want they download this podcast, my dulcet tones, my dulcet Brummy can't quite read out what I've written tones. Oh, there was that woman from New York in the first couple of shows that we did that rang in, and she had that lovely American twang.
Oh, yeah.
What's happened to her?
Don't know. Maybe she's gone off us as well.
Oh, bloody hell, I hope not. God, what are you doing to our listenership?
Why is it me?
Well, it's not. It's obviously not me. I think people are just saying, oh, God, these Lucy monologues are going on a bit long, aren't they? They'll probably just skip your bits and just, like, go to...
News reviews of the week.
I think people are just tuning in for my giggle.
Yes. That's probably true, actually. You do have a very infectious giggle.
Oh, thank you. Thank
infectious
you.
Infectious other things as well, but luckily people don't.
Shut up.
Shut up. There we go again.
I'm very careful in that department.
Sure.
That was short and sweet.
Mm.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here.
I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.